He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. It's the Tuesday edition with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And we've got Barry Kite. Barry, are you home safely from Florida?
Yeah, just barely. Now,
okay.
75 and 95 are they're more a little more busy than I remember. Put it that way. I don't know.
Well,
if
they
less
were showing
in the air or what?
Yeah, they were showing the 95 going up through Virginia. Just
yes,
be glad
no
you
doubt,
were headed.
Right?
They're stuck on the freeway for 13, 18 hours.
Yeah,
that's no fun. Wow. Well, talk about stuck on the freeway. The NASDAQ, you know, you missed the action yesterday, and it's continuing today. The action is happening in the 10-year. We'll get to that in a bit. The Dow is up 286 right now. That is a new all-time high. New all-time high. Do you have a drum roll over there? 36,864 for the Dow. It's never seen that number before as it closes in on 3,700. And the leadership, Barry, today, once again, it's the oil and gas stocks that are leading the way. And on the other hand, you've got the NASDAQ down 76 points right now to 15,756. You missed it, but the 10-year was up 11 basis points yesterday, up another 6 basis points today. You know, I think as the fear of COVID subsides, I think there's selling going on in the bond market. That's where a lot of people were parked during COVID, and that's what's sending interest rates higher, and it's sending the tech stocks lower. So we've got a very decided trend here to start the year, and here's another trend for you. The crude oil is hitting 77.55. There goes Biden's ratings again. 77.55 today, up $1.47 as the 10-year explodes higher again to 1.67. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've got a lot to talk about, Barry. With the Dow hitting a new all-time high today, second day in a row, with the S&P 500 hitting a new all-time high today, second day in a row, the NASDAQ is lagging by 76 points. What gives? What is going on with the NASDAQ?
Well, it's almost a repeat. You can probably go back to our article from end of, I think it was around March 30th of last year. You can,
yep.
You're already seeing some of that. We haven't seen much divergence. In other words, these markets have been moving, you know, S&P moving in the same direction as the NASDAQ, you know, for the most part, you know, for probably more, you know, almost a year and a half now. But, you know, looking at it, you've got some real divergence. You've got, you know, like you said, you've got, you know, NASDAQ down 0.5%. You've got the Dow up 8%. So, I mean, 0.8%. So you're talking about, you know, 1.3% difference. Going in opposite directions, and it's I certainly think it's tied to that energy
and interest rates
and the combination of interest rates. Exactly.
Yes, absolutely. I said one of the most important things to watch in this year will be interest rates, and so far Gunderson right on the money. You know, we continued to ratchet down. I mean, we started in February and March almost a year ago of getting out of the high beta, high flyers, and you know they never recovered. You know, the NASDAQ almost, the S&P 500 beat the NASDAQ by a little bit, but the NASDAQ had a respectable year. But I'm talking about the twilight zone of the NASDAQ, okay, the outer banks of the NASDAQ. It had a horrible year, and, you know, I continue to use ARK funds as a proxy for that outer banks area of the NASDAQ, and it remains very choppy and snotty out there. And I think it's only going to get worse. And it's because of interest rates. Interest rates, Barry, have a major impact on valuations of stocks. Explain that to some of our new listeners or listeners that don't understand that concept.
Yes, if you take the, you know, if you take these high growth companies, a lot of their earnings and or, you know, they may not even have any earnings yet, but the, you know, they're looking to be, you know, cash flow positive in the, you know, at some point in the future, right? And so if you take these earnings, say, you know, 5 years down the road, you know, valuation, you discount those back, and you discount those back at a discount rate, which is based off of interest rates. And so
exactly.
as you, you know, that cash flow 5 years from now, right, is worth less today in a higher interest rate environment. So as interest rates tick up, you know, it's reducing the value of those future earnings, which hence is shown in, you know, in the actual stock price. So it's a discounting mechanism, and interest rates in the denominator, and the, you know, higher the denominator, the lower the value.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got a prediction out there today that I want to talk about in a little bit of the 10-year going to 2.75 this year. 2.75. That would absolutely crush. Now, okay, you're saying, what kind of P.E. ratios are you talking here, Bill? Well, you know what? I mean, let's begin with companies that don't have earnings, all right? So you're talking a lot of companies out there, especially after all of those IPOs last year and SPACs. The vast majority of them, Barry, don't have earnings. They don't have earnings. They have a product. They're hoping someday that the product will be a big hit. Very few of them are going to make it. In fact, I would say most of those IPOs and SPACs and whatnot that came public last year won't be around 5 years from now. You have something very similar to the dot-com bubble in the year 2000, which I am a witness. I am a front-row witness of the dot-com bubble, and I saw all those second- and third-tier stocks going public in the year 2000, and it did not end well. It ended with a 79% crushing of the NASDAQ because the NASDAQ had become bloated with a lot of those stocks like that. And it's happened again here, although the NASDAQ 100 is definitely on much more solid footing today than it was back then. But you get out into the NASDAQ next tier, and it's very poor quality. And higher interest rates are just going to crush that area of the market. It already has. The crushing began last February and March, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, now we're taking it from both sides, right? The other thing
yeah.
is, you know, not only we hit the you know, future earnings, you know, discount being less, right, at a higher interest rate environment, but also, as you mentioned, the ones that aren't making any money. What does that mean? They have to. Their cost of capital is also going up because interest rates are going up, right? So, in other words, if they had to borrow money, right, to get to that
yes.
cash flow positive, you know, earnings positive potential, well, it's going to cost them more to get to that level because of higher cost of capital or higher interest rates. So,
absolutely.
It's kind of burning the candle at both ends, if you will.
Yes. So, you know, there's money to be made out there in that frontier, but it's on the short side. For instance, you know, there's an ETF that is double short the cloud stocks, okay? You have SARC, which is short the ARC ETF. That thing's up 4.2% today. SARC, as ARC continues to sink. Now, you have the big NASDAQ, okay? Apple hit $3 trillion yesterday.
Yes,
we're not talking about the Apples of the world. We're talking about these smaller battery companies, you know, the companies that are making 2 or 3 cents per share and trading at huge price to sales multiples. And we've been saying it. We've been ratcheting down. We've got more ratcheting down to do. I wanted to kind of wait and see how this year opened. Now, I think the biggest reason that interest rates have gone up yesterday and today, and it may subside here, you know, a lot of people were parking money in the bond market because Omicron was kind of an unknown factor. And all of a sudden, Omicron looks like it may be a blessing in disguise, bringing kind of an end to this whole COVID thing. In fact, I heard Scott Gottlieb yesterday say, hey, maybe by February, March, we'll have this, most of this in the rearview mirror. Okay, so now money's coming out of the bond market, Barry. And people don't realize it's not just the Fed that hikes interest rates. Oh, no. It's the market that controls interest rates. The Fed controls the short end. The market controls the long end. When you get this massive selling in the bond market like we saw yesterday, the bond market got clocked yesterday. What's that do to interest rates? It sends interest rates higher. So I think a lot of people were coming out of the bond market yesterday and today, getting back into risk-on type stuff. But guess what? They're not getting into that frontier NASDAQ. They're getting into oil stocks. They're getting into financials. They're getting into cyclicals. They're getting into industrials, just like what happened last February. And I think this is a very strong pattern that's being set here to begin this new year. Well, we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of news in the market today. I can't wait to dig in and also to get your commentary on a lot of this, Barry. It's pretty interesting. I did a lot of research this morning. We'll be right back with my findings and our discussion on it. This is the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, check the symbol F on your screen there. Check F forward. Look at that thing exploding again to the upside. Man, that was a timely buy here at Gunderson Capital. Ford is up another 8.5% today. It's the biggest winner in the S&P 500. And I think this also kind of, puts a little exclamation point on the move to lower P.E. stocks. Barry, that P.E. ratio on Ford is 12. 12, all right? And I think also that there's an advantage to having dividend-paying stocks here in 2022. Ford pays a dividend of, 2.5%? 1.8% now because the stock is exploding to the upside. Hey, nice pickup at Gunderson Capital Management in Ford. But, you know, we still have a few of the upper, not the frontier stocks, but some of the cloud stocks and the cybersecurity stocks, which are just under heavy pressure right now. You're seeing a massive internal rotation taking place in the market. And I'll tell you another sector that on the surface is pretty low PE. That's the oil and gas sector. Look at Halliburton, for instance, today, HAL. I know these are not exciting stocks, but guess what? All of you techies that love these high-tech stocks, you're probably driving a car to get your breakfast sandwich this morning. You probably got to fill up with gas. If you haven't noticed, there's very few electric vehicles on the road. There's going to be a lot more, but very few so far. And in the meantime, fossil fuels, look at Halliburton. P.E. ratio of 26, forward P.E. ratio of about 8, breaking out today, up 6.6%. So that's kind of just representative of what's kind of going on underneath the surface of the market. You know, Barry, people look at the surface of the market, they go, oh, the Dow's up 278 today. Okay, well, that doesn't even tell a part of the story. It's really just a few sectors that are working in the market today, and the NASDAQ is down 106 points right now. Okay, so there's a lot going on underneath the surface of the market that most people don't see unless you get into these individual stocks. I remember I had a friend who was in the hospital industry. This is several years ago, and he was telling me about the massive breakthrough that had happened in testing, blood test. Okay, with Theranos. Do you remember that whole story, Elizabeth Holmes and how it was going to turn the testing industry upside down because it's all it would take, one little drop of blood. And they could run thousands of different tests on that one little drop of blood. Well, you know, at one time, Theranos was a $9 billion company. It never did make it to the public IPO, because before that happened, people started to smell a rat. It sounded too good to be true. and they found out that her test wasn't any better than the test at the time. But she was a good salesperson, and you know, it was a startup company, and a lot of people, some of the top venture capital people in the world, Barry, were throwing money at Theranos. Do you remember that story? Did we lose Barry?
Well, yeah, maybe. I'm here.
Oh, can there he is.
Yeah,
oh.
And the due diligence phase is what kind of got him. And, you know, fast forward, if they would have had, you know, the SPAC, right? If, you know, think about them, if they were, you know, they could have actually came to the market using a SPAC because there's less due diligence there.
Yeah.
So the good news is, you know, they actually, you know, some people lost some money, but at the same time, they never actually made it to the public market ahead of time, I don't believe.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to believe there's a lot of SPACs out there right now that are ticking time bombs. But she duped Rupert Murdoch, the DeVos family, which is, Amway, Walmart's Walton family, and other wealthy investors out of hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, the jury finally convicted her yesterday on 4 of 11 federal charges. At one time, her net worth was $4.5 billion. So be careful out there. There's some landmines and there's some pitfalls out there in the market. Okay, U.S. daily Omicron 1 million as Omicron rages. A lot of schools are delaying their openings. The teachers don't want to go back to work. The parents aren't happy, okay? But I think here in South Carolina, our schools are opening, right?
I dropped them off this morning, and they've got they're supposed, you know, they're back to a mask mandate at least for 2 weeks. So we'll see how long that lasts. But you know,
hopefully their teacher won't drop them off later today on your front
right back
porch. But I've heard that the parents are not happy about this whole mess. I mean, Chicago, they don't want to go back to work. And think of, you know, working mothers and stuff. What a nightmare that this has been. Starbucks to require COVID-19 vaccine or weekly test for U.S. workforce. You know, that's going to the Supreme Court. They're going to hear the first arguments this Friday on Biden's vaccine mandate. I don't think it's going to fly.
Yeah, it's for 100. Isn't it for if you have 100 employees or more?
That's his mandate.
Which is kind of a low bar.
It's going to fly. I don't think you can mandate private. But we'll see. It'll go to the Supreme Court. Now, you texted me a story that I caught this morning. The world's largest coal exporter, Indonesia, is banning coal exports. I continue to be extremely bullish on the energy stocks because all of a sudden we're creating energy shortages, whether it's natural gas in Europe or whether it's coal. China is scrambling to get coal. Coal prices are soaring.
Yeah, went up 8%, I think 8% in a single day, I think, for coal in China. So.
Yeah, and, you know, this is only going to help a lot of these basic material stocks, which also look very good for 2022. Now, we saw this move happen in February and March of last year. It was a little bit premature because interest rates settled down last year. That was the big factor. I guess maybe, you know, interest rates stayed low all year last year because of the continued COVID outbreaks. But now with maybe a light at the end of the tunnel of COVID, there's really nothing, Barry, to hold interest rates back right now, okay? If people continue to, well, you know, they parked a lot of money in the bond market until COVID kind of cleared, and it's kind of clearing now, that's kind of a path to higher interest rates down the road here that we got to watch very closely. And it would seem there's really nothing to hold back this inflation problem, and energy is a big part of the inflation problem. Now, Joe Biden yesterday, he had a call with the meat producers because of the soaring cost. How high has it gone? Well, Barry, you know, we've got Lewis Barbecue brisket now. It went from $21 a pound. This is on your plate. to $26 a pound in just the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So you know what? People are feeling it, and there does not seem to be any hope in sight right now. Not good for Biden's ratings. What's he going to do? More on this whole inflation and interest rate picture when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I can't say it any better. The Dow is up 313, new all-time high. The NASDAQ is down 127. But look at this. I mean, the Frontier NASDAQ, ARK, is down 5.1% today.
Wow.
SARK, which is the opposite. I own a little bit of SARC, personally. It's up 5% today. You know, ARC was down, ended the year down 22% and getting clobbered again today. So I'm just, you know, it's a market of stocks. Yes, we hear about the stock market all the time. And one could say, well, the stock market's up over 300 points today. Yeah, but look at all the sectors. It's a very little, tiny... The stocks in the Dow that are working today are Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Exxon Mobil, Boeing. I mean, these are low P.E. stocks that do well in a rising interest rate environment. And it almost seems like we kept wondering when the rising interest rate environment would finally stick. And it looks like maybe we're here. We're at that point. And surprisingly enough, the factor that seems to be causing it is the Omicron not being as bad as we thought it would be. That seems to be the factor that is causing selling in the bond market again today, a big jump in interest rates, and that's having a very adverse effect on the high beta, high PE stocks. Crude oil, energy stocks rally as market eyes OPEC. They're meeting today. I read that they have a new leader over there at OPEC. Well, they're going to play this to their advantage here. They're sitting in the catbird seat. You know, while we're closing down production here in the U.S., we're becoming more and more reliant upon foreign oil like we were in the past. And you can see what that's doing. Today, oil, let's see, the last time I looked, it was up, it's now up $1.47 to $77.55. You know, that's another, Omicron took oil down to what, $63 a barrel, something like that?
Yep, $63, and then, but then on the flip side, it also gave, you know, OPEC Plus kind of a, you know, excuses might be a little bit of a strong word, but an excuse not to hit some of those, you know, production targets.
Exactly.
They, you know, I think they just, I think the most recently they came in right in line with deliveries, but, you know, for the last, you know, month or so, they, you know, they've been well under, those, delivery schedules, which has, you know, has allowed oil to continue to creep up, along with pretty much everything else energy.
And demand is coming back with a vengeance because, you know, it looks like Omicron, I mean, people are going to go back to work. They're going to go back to school. Omicron's going to come and go through the system very, very quickly, and the demand for oil's got to be skyrocketing once again. And that shortage is there. You know, we, President Biden tapped the emergency oil reserves, which, you know, it's just kind of silly. I mean, this is all self-inflicted. But, you know, that is gone. I mean, I read that that's been used up, and I just see upwards pressure on oil continuing. We just can't. It comes down to we're trying to transition to a renewable energy future, but it's not going to happen overnight, and we're putting artificial pressure on the fossil fuels. When Indonesia starts to, you know, not going to export coal. They're one of the biggest coal producers in the world. When pipelines are shut down, when drilling is halted, it's just going to, when natural gas in Europe up 900%, energy is a big part of the inflation equation. And let's not forget that the sectors that do well in a rising interest rate environment are doing well today. We own a financial ETF, IYG. IYG today is up 2.4%. Look at the breakout on IYG, 2.4%. While ARKK is down 5.1%. It's the tale of two markets today. The haves and the have-nots as this massive internal rotation. Now, last February, it didn't stick. We made a pretty swift rotation. We got out of the frontier NASDAQ stocks, which led the way in 2020. I mean, that was the place to be in 2020. But that move to financials and copper stocks, it didn't really stick because interest rates went back down as we just couldn't seem to, you know, get those COVID infections down.
Yeah, Delta kicked in.
Yeah, Delta came along, and that artificially kept those stocks down. But now we're having a very surprise effect here of kind of this Omicron being so short-lived and not as serious as the previous variants. You're seeing a massive rise all of a sudden in oil prices. You're seeing a massive rise in interest rates as people sell the bond market. And it's having a massive impact on the high beta, high PE stocks. Well, Goldman Sachs says that earnings will drive the market in 2022. Gosh, who's been saying that for 12 years? I don't know, Barry, if you saw the front page of the newsletter. I just put that 12-year chart there for any bull market deniers. And I'm sure there's bull market deniers out there. What is Gunderson talking about? There hasn't been a 12-year bull market. Well, just look at the chart I put up on the front page of the newsletter last Friday and tell me that that's not an upward sloping line other than one little jog in the 2020 area when the COVID-19 hit. The market's been going up for 12 years and it's been following earnings. And Goldman Sachs, guess what? It's going to continue to follow earnings. Now, we read yesterday, I went over UBS's target price, S&P 500, 5,100 by the end of the year. Goldman Sachs has the same exact number. They say in 3 months it'll be at 4,850, in 6 months it'll be at 5,000, and in 12 months it'll be at 5,100. Well, like I say, though, it does depend. Those companies have to produce those earnings. And, you know, I would just say that this is bullish news. Omicron, isn't it bullish for the restaurants? Isn't it bullish for the retailers? Isn't it bullish for the hotels? Isn't this bullish development? I mean, it almost seems like the economy's got some free sailing ahead of it without anything holding it back. Unless, I did read, however, last night about a new variant that they found. It was somewhere in Europe. It came from Cameroon in Africa, and there were 12 people that had it. So there's always that risk, but right now it doesn't seem like there's anything really going to stop other than inflation, runaway prices, and that's going to just continue to pressure that inflation. I say commodities in 2022. I say oil and gas in 2022. I say low PE in 2022. I say dividends in 2022. Now, here's what I'm going to end this segment with. This is a scary thought here. Blackstone's Byron Wien, who's been around a long time. I'm sure your dad, if you asked your dad, how many times have you seen Byron Wien come on TV and give his forecast. Right. He was with somebody, Merrill Lynch or one of the big ones. Now he's with Blackstone. He's got a prediction of the 10-year Treasury climbing to 2.75 in 2022. You know what that would do?
Yeah, and the higher end of your, you know, the higher end of most estimates I've seen is that most was 2.25. So him at 2.75, it's up there.
So okay, so now let's think about it. If he's right, how would you make money on that scenario? You'd make money on that scenario by buying the stocks, the financials. You'd buy Goldman Sachs; they'd make a ton of money.
Yep, and the insurance carriers. You've seen
the insurance characters. The Bank of Americas of the world, the lenders of the world, because there's more, you know, there's more middle, they call that, chop, between the bid and the ask. They can borrow money still pretty cheap and lend it out for a heftier price, and their profits would soar. I think this is also a year for the financials.
Well, when we're at a point, I think, where the Fed is looking for a reason not to raise rates versus initially, right, they were looking for reasons to raise rates. So
rates may go up all by themselves. That's what's happening right now, okay? The market is taking rates higher. All right, well, there's some stocks that definitely are jumping off the page. I already mentioned Ford. Wow, a couple of big days for F. What got into Ford all of a sudden? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the new year has started off with a bang and quite a divergence here in the market. Last year, the NASDAQ actually was beat by the S&P 500. But that frontier NASDAQ, which, you know, I'm just going to call ARK. Let's just pretend it's an index of the frontier NASDAQ, the transformational NASDAQ. ARKK was down 23%, 24% last year. So there's a big difference just within the NASDAQ, okay? And today... What a disparity here. The Dow up 340. It's energy and financials. I can't even believe the move in the energy stocks today. And we own several in the energy patches. Oil goes to $77 per barrel. The NASDAQ's down 189. Let's just check in real quickly the 10-year, what it's doing right now. The 10-year's at 1.67. We started the year at 1.51, okay, last Friday.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. We started the year at 1.5, basically.
Exactly. So we are up 16 basis points in 2 days, and that's mostly selling. I think probably you're going to see that abate tomorrow and the rest of the week. These first 2 days, there's been massive selling taking place in the bond market. You can see that in AGG, which is a bond fund. And, you know, we've been very bearish on the bond funds. We've been right on with that call. Owning the individual bonds, which we do in our bond portfolio, yes, they fluctuate, but we plan on owning those bonds to maturity. So, you know, we have very little impact. It has very little impact on us. You're just not going to find, well, maybe you'll be able to find a little bit better price in the bond market this year than you were last year. But this selling of the bond market is causing interest rates to jump, and you're seeing a selling in the NASDAQ, second straight day, really. But then again, there's different flavors of NASDAQ. There's Apple at $3 trillion. And then there's these SPACs without earnings. So big difference there. Now, there's some stocks here that are jumping off the page to me. I already mentioned Ford, day number two of Ford just busting loose. We own that stock. I would say another one that we own that's jumping off the page for me today, Callon Petroleum. I could throw a dart at the, if I had all the oil stocks on my wall here, I could throw a dart and hit a winner today. I don't care if it's West Texas, I don't care if it's Louisiana, Pennsylvania, the Williston Basin, The oil stocks are flying today. Callon is my favorite. It's down in West Texas, Houston, down southern Texas there. Callon's going to make record earnings this year, record earnings next year. They're looking for 214% earnings growth this year, 50% next year. And you want to buy Frontier NASDAQ stocks? You want to buy electric battery charging stocks when you've got companies like this? Basic companies, they make a product that's tangible that is still in great demand. How much demand has there been for oil? Well, President Biden released an emergency release from the Strategic Oil Reserves. So, you know, it goes along with the whole best stocks now concept. You know, while someday out there, you know, the future, the lithium battery stocks and whatnot may be the best stocks now, but until that transition happens, we are still very dependent. If you look at those cars, now, I don't know how many of those cars that were stranded on the I-95 in Virginia were electric cars that needed to charge their batteries. They were on the road for 18, 19 hours out there. What happens when your battery runs dry? You can't even heat your car. I'm just talking logistics here. In the meantime, CPE, Callon Petroleum, is up another 6.2% today. It was up like 6 or 7% yesterday. We own it in our ultra growth portfolio. I know it's not sexy. They're not charging your electric battery. No, they're finding the fossil fuel that you need to run your car. Callon was up 293% last year. 293% last year. Just for fun, I'm trying to think of one of the battery charging charge points, CHPT. Let's see how CHPT did last year, charge point. Now, I'm not saying they're not the future, but the future is now. It's still in fossil fuels. ChargePoint was down 51% last year, 51% in 2020, while Callon Petroleum was up 253, did I say 293%.
Yeah, check out LNG. You know,
I haven't even looked at LNG today. We own LNG.
Liquefied natural gas. It's across the entire energy sector.
It's the entire energy sector. And not only that, over in Europe, France put the squeeze on the EU, and they decided to label natural gas and nuclear energy as green energy. And Germany was not happy with that because Germany was closing down three more nuclear power plants yesterday, just turning the plug, shutting them down. And by the end of the year, they'll shut down their remaining three as they're going all renewable, solar and wind. We'll see how that works out next winter. And in the meantime, France is going big on nuclear. And that's also going to be bullish for uranium. Those uranium stocks should fly. And, of course, natural gas now being labeled as a renewable gas. Cheniere Energy is another good play, LNG. So, well, you know, I could have featured a bunch of stocks today. I'll just mention one other one. How about a life insurance stock? To your point, look at Brighthouse Financial, BHF, which makes permanent and term life insurance and annuity solutions. That stock is up 5.1% today, while ARK is down 5.1%. One's an insurance stock, and the other one are Frontier NASDAQ stocks, which are getting run over by a Caterpillar tractor at the current time, run by fossil fuels. All right, you know what? I don't mean to make light of it, but I'm just reporting to you on what is taking place in this crazy market right now and how you can possibly profit from it and how you can stay out of harm's way. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. We'll evaluate your portfolio. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Stay on top of this big changing year. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.